Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we're joined by a very special guest.
Yeah, incredibly special. Jonathan, fill us in.
All the way from the United States, a celebrity guest, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's my girlfriend, Bonnie Eatman. Bonnie, say hello to the Screen Verdict audience.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
Hey, Bonnie. Now, can we just address the, like, elephant in the room? Sorry, buddy, I by no means call you an elephant in the room. Sorry. I didn't even plan that. Okay, so I'm a bit worried that you're just going out with Jonathan to get on the Screen Verdict podcast.
Oh, no.
Is that true?
No, I don't think that's true.
Okay. Had you heard of the Screen Verdict podcast before you met Jonathan?
I had not.
Oh, I thought the word had gotten out a bit more in America.
It's quite popular in America.
Yeah.
Have you visited Ghana or Nepal? Because Screen Verdict does very well over there as well.
Yes. So it's not like just Jonathan touched down and everyone was like, the Screen Verdict guy has gotten here.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Give it some time.
Okay. I'm rest assured a bit. Though I'm a bit disappointed we're not as famous as I thought we were. Oh, well. So, what are we talking about today, Jonathan?
Perhaps the most controversial new show of the season.
Duck Dynasty.
Even more so, it's Showtime's Masters of Sex.
Oh, my. I've seen this show, though, so I guess it can't be too shocked that we're talking about it. Yes. Have you seen the show, Bonnie?
I have.
Okay, good.
Religiously.
A qualified guest.
Okay, so we've all seen... You've seen the show, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes, good. So we've all seen it. So it's a Showtime show. What are some of Showtime's other shows?
I think Showtime would be most famous for Dexter and perhaps more recently Homeland, a show that is yet to disappoint the audience with its finale. Fingers crossed for that.
I was going to say, it looks like Masters of Sex is set up for a very satisfying ending. Dexter and Homeland under their belts.
I guess they're a rival in a way to HBO. They were one of those cable networks that came up around the same time and doing cutting edge, controversial, pushing the envelope drama television.
Yes.
And Dexter was pretty successful for a while. I was a fan for a while. If you want to see our thoughts on how it ended, check out Season 8 review. And Homeland has swept the Emmys, if not the Screen Verdict hearts.
Yeah, because it's our top-rated podcast of all time, is our Homeland Season 1 review.
You're glad it's not the Season 2 review. That
no.
Makes a little more sense.
Yeah, so Masters of Sex, this is a show that I got into pretty much just because Showtime sent me the Masters of Sex calendar.
Hey.
So I've got the Masters of Sex calendar here that we can, if we need to reference, I don't know, anything, dates or...
I will describe
pictures.
The Screen Verdict listeners.
I got it out because I thought it could be helpful, but looking at it, I'm thinking it's probably not going to be that helpful. There's not even much we can write in the dates. It's very small. Light on the calendar.
Yeah, heavy on the pictures. Light on the updating your calendar writing space.
It's a list of numbers. And they've got things from down here, but from different years. So, like, we've got on the 6th of January, it says, Elvis makes his last appearance on Ed Sullivan.
I would imagine it's all from the one year, the year that in which Masters of Sex is set.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's not helpful. We need a time machine to go see Elvis's last appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
So who's in the show?
Well, a favourite of mine, Michael Sheen.
Why is he a favourite of yours, Matt?
Well, I thought he was very good in The Queen and Frost Nixon, so yeah.
Seem very defensive. Yeah. Like, well, I'm not supposed to like Michael Sheen, but I do, because he was great in The Queen.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to like Michael Sheen. I think he's great. Good. I haven't seen The Queen, but I really liked him in Frost Nixon, The Damned United. He had a short stint on 30 Rock.
And oh, he's very good on 30
the
Rock.
The English Wesley Snipes, which I found quite entertaining.
He's always very good, Michael Sheen. Reliable.
Have you seen any of those things?
No.
No, so you had no expectations of Michael Sheen, from Michael Sheen going into Master of Sex.
That's right.
Perhaps you will have the least biased verdict then on the show.
Yeah. But I presume it's the thing I was most excited about for the show.
Not the sex?
No. It was Michael Sheen. Didn't know what was the right answer there. So yes, right,
either, so, yeah. The sex fiend or the homosexual answer.
Yeah. Well, I think the if I say yes, it sounds a bit perverted. If I say no, it sounds a bit like, I don't know,
nerd,
a bit of a prude. Yeah. So,
These are the kind of traps instead of setting these traps for each other, these are the kind of traps we should be setting for Stephen Merchant and friends in Gold Derby interviews.
He's very good, Stephen Merchant.
He's always a step ahead.
Yeah. So Michael Sheen, I thought was pretty good in this show. Like, he's a good actor. He just gets in there. He gives a great performance each time. This is the hard thing I found with Dr. Masters, which is the character he plays. Okay, he's a doctor in a hospital, and he's really interested in doing sex research because this is an area, and as we discovered from the Master Sex Calendar, it's 1957.
Correct.
It looks like. So it's set in a while ago, so not many people knew much about sex back then. I think they knew how to have it. That's why there's, like, people.
That's how we made it from whatever year the human race began to 1957.
But there wasn't much medical research, and he was really interested in being a pioneer. And I sort of thought it was interesting. So there's sort of three sort of motivations he's got here. One, he wants to help out in an area where there isn't much knowledge, okay? People don't know something about stuff. The more we know about it, probably the better we'll be off as a society. So I think there's a good aim. I think also he just wants to be the best at something. So he's like found, like, this is something no one else is doing. I can do it and I can just go straight to the top.
He wants to be the Michael Jordan of sex research.
Yes, he does. Or the Space Jam of movies. So, a third, part of me thinks he's quite interested in sex. I mean, he quite likes sex, Michael Sheen. I think he tries to act a bit bookish and things, but I think he's, like, a bit of the nerd that's sort of into sex. So, Jonathan, Bonnie, either of you weigh in. What do you think about that theory?
Well, I agree that Michael Sheen is great. He's great in the role. In terms of his character, I think you're a little bit split. I think I root for him on the professional side.
Mm-hmm.
But you sort of root against him on the personal side.
Yeah.
Well, not quite necessarily against him, but it's a little bit more ambiguous.
Mm.
Because in a way, you sort of want things to work out with the wife and them have a baby and things like that. But he's also a bit of a douche.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, it's the end justifies the means. Like, him being a douche gets everyone focused and on task and gets things done his way, which is usually the best way. I actually think he's right most of the time.
Mm.
But sometimes it's just because he's arrogant and can't deal with his daddy issues and mommy issues and sex issues.
Yes, yeah.
And takes it out on everyone else. So I think they've created a pretty layered character, and I think you're right. He does have those professional goals, but he also, I don't know, not just because he's just a nerd interested in sex. I think it's just everyone's interested in sex, especially back in 1957 when you're not allowed to talk about it. That makes it even more intriguing.
Mm. It seems like he's a guy who probably didn't get much sex, though, right? Maybe a bit head smarts, but not street smarts on the sex. Dr. Masters. Bonnie, did you like Dr. Masters?
I feel bad for his wife.
Mm.
I think he's smart. I agree with it. You know, I agree with what you said, Jonathan. But I feel bad for his wife. If he's so into sex, he's not very into her. And it seems like he's in a passionless marriage, and that's kind of sad. I don't know. I feel bad for her.
I do agree with that. Because she's a pretty good-looking wife, too. Like, he's done well for himself with this wife. Not that if she wasn't good-looking, he's just ignoring stuff either. But, like, I sort of don't get why someone who spends all his life, like, sort of working about sex and things can't, like, get something going with her.
They have twin beds.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit creepy.
Twin beds.
Yeah. The fact that she calls him daddy.
Yeah, now what's the deal with this? Because I thought I was just hearing it wrong for an episode or two, but no, her nickname for him is daddy.
Because that's how badly she wanted to have a baby with him, I think.
Oh, like he's going to be a daddy. Like you're my daddy. Mm.
I think that only makes sense once you've had the baby.
I'd like to see an episode where they flash back to when that started. I want to know whose idea was this. Did he one night go, I was going to do a British accent just then because Michael Sheen's British. The character he plays isn't British. Where Dr. Masters, is he the one who goes to the wife, like, sort of, you know, can you start calling me daddy? I'd like you to do that. Or does she go, just start calling him that one day and he just doesn't say anything about it? I don't know, it's very...
I feel like there'd be a lot of exposition required. I don't think you could just seamlessly drop that in there. I would be... number one, first attempt, I'm pulling that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just say daddy?
Yeah. What did you... Yeah.
Oh, let's hopefully explore that a little.
Yeah. Also in the hospital is a character called Virginia, played by Lizzie Kaplan.
Mm.
She's been in a show called Party Down, a very little show. I hadn't seen it, but it's apparently got a bit of a cult following or something.
Yeah, it got cancelled after 2 seasons. I actually watched it. I quite enjoyed it.
Mm.
I didn't really cry when it got cancelled. Mm. But I can see why it had a bit of a following. She plays a similar-ish character, someone that's kind of smart and savvy, kind of sarcastic. Bit more of a maverick in this one, I would say.
Hmm.
She isn't really adhering to any social rules, which is a lot more maverick-ish as a woman in 1957.
Yeah, one could argue that in 2014, it's more maverick to play by the rules.
That's so postmodern. We've looped around. This is what the hipsters have created. Cool is uncool, and then uncool becomes cool again.
Mm.
This is the social rules that Lizzie Kaplan is playing by.
Yeah, I think whatever you do these days, you can sort of claim maverick somehow. There's so many. We're a world of niches. We're in a world of
Matt's wearing chinos. I'm wearing pink shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bit reluctant to pick something on his way to declare a maverick.
Yeah.
Choice. Tanned. It's maverick tan.
I'm just sitting here like in awe. I'm getting Jonathan trying to like.
I'm getting passive condescendingly.
Yeah. Yeah, Lizzie Kaplan. She marches to the beat of her own drum in this, Virginia. And she's a pretty cool character. She mixes things up. It's sort of, she's a lot like Bill in a lot of ways. She doesn't, you know, she's obviously interested in the sex research thing, but it seems like she's got a bit more of the street smarts with sex. Like, she'll get out there and do a bit, like, in her personal time.
It's the theoretical versus practical experience in the field.
Hmm.
Which I would think would become quite handy in the study. And clearly it does. She becomes a major part of the study.
Yeah. Bonnie, help us out here. What's some things about Virginia? Do you like her? Do you not like her?
I love Lizzie Kaplan. I'm kind of biased. Mm-hmm. I think she's an amazing actor.
Oh, so you were a big Lizzie Kaplan. So we're the big Michael Sheen fans, and you're the big Lizzie Kaplan mm-hmm. fan. Okay.
Yeah. I think she's got a little bit of the feminist thing going. I like her. I think she's good. She fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to be like her? She's cool.
Well, I don't want to be like her, I guess, in some senses, just because I find it hard to identify with the female character on the show.
Females only, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. And there's elements of her that I would like to have, I guess. She's very confident and into that. What do you think she wants, though, Bonnie? You're a girl. It seems like this guy who likes her in the office gets a bit clingy too soon. She pushes him away, and she gets in some other relationships. And what is her end game? What do you think Lizzie Caplan or Virginia Johnson wants out of sort of relationships?
That's a good question. Out of relationships, it's hard to tell at this point.
Mm.
It seems like she mainly wants a career and wants to hopefully finish school or whatever and become more than a secretary.
Mm.
But as far as relationships go, she's all over the place a little bit. So I guess that's why I'm still watching. I would like to know that too.
Yeah.
You know?
She's a bit all over, though. I was finding it a bit hard to read her. But I don't think that's bad. I'm not blaming Lizzie Caplan for that. I think it's keeping us guessing.
Mm-hmm. I think she's been married twice, and she said she had a reason for marrying each time. One of them was just for kids, and I can't remember what the second one was. But it wasn't because, oh, I love the person, wanted to be with them forever. Like, it was just money or something. Mm-hmm. So she says in the show that she is able to separate sex and love, but I'm not sure if she also can't have them together, whether she just can't actually be with someone,
yes,
or whether she hasn't in the past, but is open to that in the future.
Mm.
She has a couple people come after her in the show, and I'm thinking, I don't know how this is going to end for you.
I feel like when a guy likes her, they're probably going to get hurt, is my read.
Risky territory.
Should we talk about the other characters in maybe the spoiler section?
Yes, we'll go into more detail in the spoiler section for those that have watched the show. As you know, with our drama shows, or at least season one of drama shows, first half we keep spoiler free, so we can give you a bit of a taste of it, see if you want to watch the show if you haven't already. There are some other people. They're good. You got the guy from Fired Up. He plays another doctor. It was funny seeing him in a serious show.
Is that Beau Bridges? Is that who you're talking about?
No, the young one.
Oh, the young one. Okay.
He's in that stupid teen comedy with about the guys that go to cheerleading camp.
I've not seen that. So, okay. Oh, we give a verdict first, though, don't we?
Well, just before we get to the verdict, I want to talk about the title. Because we like puns
here
at Screen Verdict. Mm. The double entendres. I'd argue that Masters of Sex is a triple entendre.
Okay.
Let's see how many we can find.
Yeah.
Okay, so Masters of Sex, that could be someone or people that are just really good at sex.
Yes.
Then,
like, he's a master of that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's masters as in, like, a, you know, PhD or master's, like a qualification.
You've got a master's degree in sex. Okay.
So that could be from studying sex. Yeah. And then the guy's name is actually Bill Masters.
So he's Bill Masters of sex.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There you go. So you just thought it was a sexy name to catch people's attention on buses around town. They just see sex and they go, whoa, what's going on here? Which it is.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But there's many layers to it.
Mm. Three. That's very good.
So I'm a fan of the title. Let's hear if I'm a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
With my Screen Verdict rating, we'll give three ratings this week. We'll explain to Bonnie the intricate and complex rating system we use here at Screen Verdict.
Mm.
Score out of 10.
You can go to 0.5. You can give a half. But we don't like decimal points outside of a 0.5.
7.14.
Yeah. I don't know if in the history of Screen Verdicts if we've ever gone outside, like, 0.5, but the fans, I'm sure, will get onto us with that. Screen Verdict definitely.
Yeah, we don't want to get a tirade of angry emails for breaking the decimal point system.
Yep.
So Masters of Sex, Season 1, I think it hooks you in with a pretty interesting premise. I think you've got some great actors in the leading roles. I think the story takes a couple of interesting turns. There are lots of subplots, some of which are interesting, some of which are not quite as interesting as others. I think there's a little bit of filler to get to the 12 one-hour episodes, but it's mostly pretty interesting. I'd say the production values and the aesthetic are fairly unique. It's got a good style. It sort of puts you in the setting or feeling of 1957, which I enjoy. And the writing as well as the story being pretty engaging. I think the dialogue is very consistent. There are lots of quotable lines, lots of memorable moments. A few sex puns here and there, which isn't too grating. Sometimes you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's a show about sex. But they don't overdo it. It's not usually cheesy.
Other than the opening title sequence. Which I think is a little over the top.
The opening sequence is just a series of visual images all relating to sexual things. I don't mind it. I think it's kind of creative. But I, as with anything, I don't know, think I find it as interesting every time. So yeah, I've been really enjoying the show. I think season one got to a fairly satisfying conclusion. I'll be definitely hanging around season two to see where it goes from here. I'm going to give season one of Masters of Sex 8 out of 10.
Good score. Masters of Sex, I think this is a really good show with some really good performances. You know, you've got Michael Sheen, Lindsay Kaplan, Beau Bridges, Allison Janney, all knocking it out of the park each week. Great characters. I think especially the two leads, very interesting to see their dynamics with each other and how they play off against each other. And I think there's some episodes where, like, one has the upper hand, other episodes where the other has the upper hand, and some episodes where it's a bit sort of confused, and I quite like that dynamic. I think some really interesting stuff. I think I do like the style. It's a little Mad Men-esque. It's got a bit of a Mad Men feel to it, and I probably do prefer Mad Men, but I really liked it. I think it's a really good show, but it's not a show that I love. Like, it's not a show that I'm really passionate about. It hasn't, like, struck a nerve with me or struck a chord with me, like some other shows do. So I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10. Bonnie, your review.
My turn. Oh, man. Well, you guys gave such good details, but I love it. It's my favorite new show.
Wait, you're not into the crazy ones with Ron Williams or the Michael J. Fox show?
No. I don't really, to be fair honest, enough. I don't watch that many shows, so when I watch a show, it means I really like it.
Yeah.
So, that being said...
Then don't watch those two shows I just mentioned.
That being said, I would give it a 9 out of 10. I mean, it's pretty close solid to being one of my favorite shows. Ever.
What are some of your other favorite shows ever?
Girls.
HBO. Lean It On, we've done a few podcasts on that.
Sex in the City, but that's long gone.
Mm-hmm. That's like Girls for our listeners. That's like Girls set in the late '90s, early 2000s that's with 30 somethings instead of 20-somethings.
That's right. The Office.
The Office, UK or US?
US. I'm sorry. I'm a big Steve Carell girl.
Yeah, he went a bit downhill when he left, but I agree. Not a bad lineup. Not a bad lineup at all. So, now we're going to talk about spoilers. So this is where we talk about what happened, some of the other characters. So if you don't want to be spoiled what happened season one of Masters of Sex, stop listening now. Watch Masters of Sex tomorrow. Come back, listen to the rest tomorrow.
And in case you've tuned out, not exactly listening to what we're saying, but you're expecting a spoiler alert.
Yes.
But when we cross over into spoiler territory, here it is.
Spoiler alert! Woo! Woo! Okay, now we can talk about spoilers.
We sure can.
So, Michael Sheen and Lizzie Kaplan start doing it. As part of the study, though.
Yeah, Bonnie called this before I did, that he liked her. I thought that he was sort of impressed with her helpfulness to the study, but I didn't know whether he liked her, and that maybe if they did do something together in the study, it would be for the study.
Mm.
But it definitely seems like he starts to develop feelings for her.
Mm.
Which I think kind of revealed itself in a bit of a strange manner when he decides to pay her for the time that she put into those sessions.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember that now.
Which she did not take well.
No.
Which he knew she would obviously not take well. So is that because he felt guilty about having those feelings for her and that was why he was having sex with her? So in order to justify it to himself, he said, well, if I paid her, then that's a way of arguing that it was just for the study.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It makes it less personal.
It's a little convoluted and transparent, though.
Yeah, but don't we all know a lot of guys or girls who are a bit like that, who do these convoluted things to justify their own actions? I definitely know a lot.
And then I guess the second major scene, which is sort of skipping to the end, but And I guess this could be a bit ambiguous, because I guess he could claim that he only misses her professional company. But at the end, he shows up at her place and says, I can't live without you.
Mm. That definitely sounds romantic to me. I think, like, it was, I can't work without you would be better if, like...
Would you ever show up at your assistant's house? They've left. I can't go on. I just can't do it without you.
Well, I think we saw a bit of this maybe in The West Wing back in the day when sort of Leo did the rounds to get everyone to, like, work for Bartlett. He, like, would knock on the door and go, like, to people's houses and stuff and go, this guy, he's the guy. We need you working for us. Like, but it definitely didn't come across that way in Masters of Sex. It sounded more like, I'm in love with you.
Mm. And this puts her in a bit of a weird spot, because I don't think she ever had any romantic feelings for him.
Ooh.
That's okay. My view.
Okay, okay.
But I think she always respected and looked up to him professionally. So I think in some way she was missing being a part of the study and would maybe want to come back to that. But the fact that he now has feelings for her makes that weird. Plus, she's just sort of been proposed to by Haas. So she's with another guy now.
Bonnie, you've got to wait on this, Bonnie. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think she loves him.
You don't think she loves
him? I don't think
so. Do you think she ever had feelings for him?
Not other than sexual feelings.
No, okay.
Oh, actually, okay, there was one episode where he asks her if she wants to get dinner afterwards, and she's like, no, I've got to go home to the kids or whatever.
Mm.
Then they come back and they do it again for another study, and she says, do you want to get dinner? And he goes, no, I've got plans booked with the wife. And she looks kind of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So maybe there was a little something there at some point. I don't think it's love. Okay. I don't think she loves him, but I think she maybe got a bit attached.
That's a good point. Okay.
I also think the first time they partook in the study together, she's sort of like, I can't, you know, some women can get orgasms from just their breasts being touched. And he goes, oh, I don't believe it. Or so I can't remember what he said.
That's ridiculous. I have to see that.
Yeah. I'd have to see that. And she goes, well, why don't you just now? And she like takes his hand and like puts it, I don't know. That seemed a little bit not just like, she hadn't done the paperwork yet for the study. I don't know. That seemed a little bit spontaneous.
I think that was demonstrating more of her maverick nature.
Okay.
Just a willingness to be like, okay, I'm going to get it off. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Okay.
As opposed to necessarily having feelings for him.
Okay. Possibly true. I think she's had some levels of some feeling for him at some point throughout the first season.
Mm.
I don't think she's fallen in love.
My prediction, they don't end up together.
My prediction, Haas gets really hurt.
And cries.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's talk about Haas.
Yeah.
How many people did he want to propose to this season?
This guy is a very needy guy, isn't he?
He falls in love with Virginia, then he goes out with the provost's daughter, proposes to her, breaks up with her, gets back with Virginia in the last episode of the season, proposes to her over the phone. Doesn't even need a response. She's like, have a couple of hours to think about it.
Oh, man. That's rough.
I was cringing.
He's cool with the proposal. She hasn't given a direct answer. And then sort of I wasn't expecting you to answer right now anyway. Oh, rough.
He's been an interesting character. I didn't think we were supposed to like him.
No, I thought he was a bit of a douche at the beginning, actually.
Because when someone hits a woman, can that be redeemed? I don't know, because he seemed very sweet later on. They seemed kind of like a good couple. He was very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
He was great with the kids. The kids loved him. And I was thinking, this would be nice if he hadn't hit her in, I believe, the first episode.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that was too strong. I think I don't know. If the show wants me to root for him, he should have just had him smash a glass or something a bit overly dramatic. But I don't know if I can root for them getting together now that he smacked it. And I don't know why she would take him back either.
Mm.
Yeah, being the feminist that she is, why? That's a good question.
I can be hit just like a man can be hit.
That's true. If they were dude friends, you could probably get over it.
Yeah. Depends why you hit the person, I guess.
Like, you know what? I really deserved that. Yeah. I was being a total dick.
Yeah. Yeah, so Haas... Yeah, at the beginning I thought it was, like, there was the punch thing. He just got way too clingy with Virginia way too early.
Mm.
Like, I was going, oh, no. Does that, like, sort of... amateur boyfriend 101 here, just, like... He's already sort of talking about marriage. They've only, like, slept together once or something. They haven't even... They're not even boyfriend or girlfriend yet. She was, I think, pretty walls up and things, and he did not play it cool. And in some ways, maybe I can empathise with that in the sense of, like, oh, yeah, it can be tough when you got feelings for someone and things. But at the same time, I could also be like, oh, I also... I don't think I'd ever get that carried away, and I also think I know people... who they're so needy, they just bounce from one girl to the next girl and back to the first girl and things like that. And I definitely wouldn't do that. And I was like, oh, this isn't good, guy. You need to, like, have some therapy or just calm down, just take things as they come a bit more without having to try to get married by the end of season one of Masters of Sex.
Knowing Showtime, even if the show sucks, you've got another 7 seasons to get married, huh?
Yeah.
So another couple we have on the show is the provost, sort of Bill Master's boss, and his wife, Alison Janney.
Yes.
Now, he is gay.
Yes.
That's not really the optimal situation for Alison Janney to be in.
Yeah.
She doesn't know he's gay.
We don't want to judge... Like, we don't say anything judgmental, but it would be very hard for a straight woman to be married to a gay man.
It's fine to be gay, but Screen Verdict does not recommend marrying someone that doesn't know you're gay if you are.
Yes. I don't think we've stepped on any political landmines here. I think
we're very good at dodging political landmines here at Screen Verdict.
So, this is obviously tough. And we as the audience find out a bit before she does.
Mm.
So we're sitting on this secret too all season.
In some ways, you feel sorry for him because you feel like he's done her wrong. But at the same time, being gay in that time period would have been very tough. I think in the last episode, she finds a newspaper article about someone being put to death over being gay.
Oh, that's a good song. Who was it?
It's someone that's about to get hung up on.
Okay. Not going to put him on the podcast.
For those who listen to our Arrested Development podcast, when I said I would make that my ringtone, I actually did.
Man of his word.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what are we talking about?
Hard being gay in the 50s.
Yeah, and I think he is a victim to his society and culture. At the same time, like, obviously, you know, it's rough on Alison Janney too. And the really interesting thing I thought with this relationship was, like, he seemed to be in love with her on one level as well. Mm. Like, it wasn't on one... I think on a sexual level there was nothing there, but it did seem on some level... Like, it's not like he just married her as a cover-up completely. Mm-mm. So he did have feelings for her as well.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a sham. It was basically he... loved her almost as a best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
A companion, but not sexually.
Yeah. Mm. And we did see at the end of the season, he was prepared to try to change his sexual orientation for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like... So he does love... It's not like she was just someone, oh, I'm conning her, like, mm-mm, I can have all my gay sex and no one will ever know because I'm married to Alison Janney. Like, it did seem like something he's been struggling with and something that... So, but she loves him too, despite all this, which is very sweet as well. And she didn't want him to get the electroshock therapy stuff because that will be bad. Like that, there's some side, obviously, that's not the best thing to do.
That's tough for her because she clearly loves him and there's the pain of being lied to. But there's also all that time of feeling not desirable or ugly or unlovable.
Mm.
So it's not it's not just this painful moment of the reveal, like, oh, no, this happened. But she's been feeling pain as a result of this for many years.
Yeah. So even though he says that to his wife, that he won't do it, he still considers it. Mm. And he still could still be on the table. I think this is probably the wrong call for him to make, just with the benefit of being in 2014. From what I'm aware, electroshock therapy does not change your sexual orientation.
Mm.
I've not heard of this as a thing.
I think the only things I've heard it referred to in were, I think, A Beautiful Mind. Did they do it in Blue Jasmine?
Ooh, I can't remember.
Either way, the films did not seem to be recommending electroshock therapy. It doesn't have a great reputation
no.
in 2014.
I'd be very surprised if the Masters of Sex show wants to send the message that if you're gay and you don't want to be, just get electroshock therapy.
Season two. He has the therapy. He's suddenly straight. Their marriage is fixed.
Yeah. Happy ending. Happy days. I did not see the show going down this path because I think they'd be bending reality a bit.
And in a socially irresponsible fashion.
Yeah. It would be the equivalent of their driving a boat into a hurricane and becoming a lumberjack. But with probably much more political ramifications.
Well, she has a affair.
Yeah.
With the douchey doctor that just kind of sleeps around.
Mm.
And I think some of his most interesting scenes were him at the therapist. Because he has all these sexual issues, and the therapist just nails stuff on the head. And yeah. Each time he's just like, "Who do you think you are trying to read my brain, man? This is just clearly not it."
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, this was funny. This guy who gets in the study with Jane, and then Jane must be good at sex, right?
He was very upset when he was not paired for the game in future studies.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, could you just pair me up with Jane? Can we get that work in here?" Like trying to rig the bracket to get Jane at some point. So and then Jane starts working as a secretary for Dr. Masters.
Jane was a good character. She seems like a ditzy, throwaway side character that actually grew to be quite helpful to Virginia and Masters with their work, and also had a cute little relationship with the odd film guy.
Yeah.
You liked the film guy, didn't you?
I think he's precious.
Yeah, I like him too. He's good. He's very good. What's his name? Like, it's like something like Randall or something like that.
I think it is Randall.
Oh, is it? There
yeah,
you go.
I think you're right. Mm.
Object. Make it keep talking. She was good.
I love when he freaked out about that film getting out there, and he's like, "Oh, that film star's got my fingerprints all over it." And you're like, "What sort of film techniques are you using of a dildo inside someone?" Like, he's quite the auteur.
Mm. You know, like, I hope we see some of him and Jane in season two. Oh, that'd be really sweet. I think we will. That'll be good. And we know Jane has very beautiful vaginal walls. So we also let.
Is that a good line? Should we be learning pick-up lines from Randall?
I put two quotes down in the final episode. Just in case I forgot them, and that was one of them, because I thought it was very funny. I thought I'd never...
This is going to be good, Adam, but just with no context.
It's something else I learned. Like, I think, I don't know if it's appropriate for the podcast.
So you weren't taking notes for this podcast, it was just notes for yourself.
Well, I thought maybe it'd be good for the podcast if it came up, and I'm like, "Oh, what was that line? What was that..." Yeah. Should I say it now? I guess I have to say it now. I learned from the show that doctors can spot a statistically average masturbator miles away.
That was a pretty good line.
Yeah. And I just thought, how is that true? But he said it like, "Oh no, I'm a doctor. I can tell." Like, he wasn't even joking. Yeah. I don't think he was just...
That was what sold it. It was so dry.
"I'm a doctor. I can tell these things." Okay, this is a very small thing. But you know how Randall is like,
Was it Randall? Did you look that up?
Oh, I didn't look it up. I didn't know. I couldn't see him in the... IMDb doesn't always rank people the best way. So, people said something along the lines of... I think he was sort of trying to boast, like, I've filmed things before. I've been part of a groundbreaking study. And they're like, you have not. And he's like, well, I filmed Jane. And then she sort of threw him under the bus with sort of a... that creepo, like... Do you think Jane was being slack there, or do you reckon Randall put her in the position where she had to be slack?
He made a mistake. She could have been a bit less mean about it.
Because
she did feel bad, and she apologized later.
Yeah, I think there was a confidentiality thing. Yeah. It shouldn't have been... Yeah, I think it's pretty justified. And then you go and apologize after. I think that's fair, too. You say, oh, sorry, I had to do that, but I just didn't want people to know I was in that thing, so...
Yes, it's pretty reasonable. Yeah, but now everyone thinks I'm a creep.
Yeah, well, you should get in the bed you made for yourself. Like,
there you go.
Yeah. So, but I do like them. I think something's going to happen there. So, we've pretty much talked about everything other than the presentation, right?
Maybe just quickly the wife.
Oh, yeah.
It is a pretty sad situation for her to be in. Because she's so likable and she's so nice and friendly.
With
Bill and...
She's not clingy either. She gives, like, him some space as well. Like, she's a very good wife.
I'm glad she got pregnant again. Because after... Yeah. That was a very disturbing scene, actually. Because she has the miscarriage. That's depressing. But to actually see the dead baby... Did the show need to do that? I don't know. It was weighty. It did have an emotional impact. But I don't know. I'm not sure if it was too much.
Yeah.
It's a very real-looking baby.
Yeah. I don't really mind it that much. It's okay. I'll allow it.
So I'm hoping this baby can maybe save their marriage. Usually it doesn't work like that. It's like, our relationship's not good. Let's get married. That'll fix it. The marriage isn't doing very well. Let's have a baby. Usually doesn't fix it. But I'm hoping...
I'm single and not happy. Let's get a cat.
Any decisions made while things are not great should probably be reviewed.
Yeah.
Do you want them to get together, or should she just cut her losses, go find someone else?
I want her to be happy, is what I want.
Can she be happy with Bill?
He needs to change. Like, he needs to pick up his act a bit, really.
Yeah.
I don't believe that people can't change, though. So, yeah, he needs to work at their marriage. I'm not sure if season two is going to be a whole lot of him working at their marriage, though.
Yeah, I think declaring his inability to live without Virginia is not a step in the right direction for the marriage. Bonnie, do you think Bill can change?
I don't really see him changing for her. If I were her, well, she's pregnant, so it changes things, but I wouldn't be able to deal with that situation. And God forbid if she finds out about Virginia and Dr. Masters, then...
Because they're quite good friends now as well.
That would be it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that'll play out and we'll see her, you know, take a step.
I think she's catching on. That will come out in season two.
She came close in season one when they were looking at that massive file in Bill's office. And they were going, it was like almost one of those, I'm not sure, like a comedy where, you know, like Wile E. Coyote is sort of setting the trap and you just, oh no, this is going to come back and just like hit him in the face. And they're like getting out this massive file that Bill's composed of all the stuff about Virginia. They go, boy, this is a lot bigger than all the other ones. Boy, there's a lot of detail here. We're really interested in who this could possibly be. And oh, this is going to come back and hit Bill in the face. But no, he dodged it. He avoided it. But
for now.
Mm-hmm. It's going to only a matter of time. And then she's going to be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe Bonnie's right. Maybe the place. Take the kid. Get out of it.
I'd like to see her with somebody who appreciates
it. Yeah. Get a good settlement. Get a good, like, I'm not sure what divorce laws are.
Don't think it was favourable to the non-breadwinner in 1957.
She's not going to get some massive, like... Anyway, so... Maybe hold off a bit. Wait for some more progressive laws to come in and then... Okay, so he does his big presentation.
The presentation.
Everyone rocks up. His wife rocks up. Virginia pops in. The boss is there. Everyone's keen to see this. His wife even helped him a bit with it, didn't she? She, like...
Got some appetizers, some martinis. Yeah. Set the mood. He's always right, isn't he? So maybe this or that. And he was like, martinis, it sets the right tone.
Yeah.
And then Virginia's like, oh, I agree with that, it sets the right tone. And he's like, I told you so, that's why I'm Bill Masters.
He thinks very highly of himself. And
he does.
His big strategy for the presentation was, let's make it as shocking as possible.
Yeah, too often people just read numbers, data, and people just... tune out.
He went to one. It was boring. Everyone left, and he goes, I can't be that guy.
Yeah.
And he did razzle them.
And it worked for a period of time. He was talking about sexy stuff, giving people the kind of information they wanted to hear.
Just...
little penises are okay.
Yeah.
A little guy had people cheering in the aisles for that.
Yeah.
But he crossed the line when he showed footage.
Just like Adam in Girls... he went a bit too far. He went a little too... it's going so well. And had to stuff it up.
How did you think that was going to go down when he put up the footage?
I thought some people would be concerned. I thought some people would be a bit... I thought it would ruffle feathers.
Not Russell?
No. A nice little Survivor for a reference there. Someone who doesn't watch Survivor. Yeah. No, ruffle feathers. Yeah, and it did.
I thought the reaction was a little extreme, but maybe that's just hard for me to put myself in the social dynamics of 1957.
Yeah, he did not read the room. And I think he sort of, like, he got so worried that everyone would find his presentation boring that he overdid it. Like, just the fact that people heard it was about sex probably meant everyone was going to come and stay for the whole thing anyway. So I don't know why. And especially some of that stuff that he put in there, and I can't remember what it is, like a pretend Virginia in his head was telling him that's not enough people for the data to be reliable. And he was like, no, it's enough. Like, so he was not even using the best data. He rushed it for the presentation.
If Virginia had still been involved, would it have played out differently? Would she have known, because his wife claims to have known, not to have played that footage and probably kept out the incomplete data? Is that why he goes to her and says he needs her?
Maybe. I still think that if Virginia Masters had been there... if Virginia Johnson had been there in the office when he's doing all this stuff, she would have said the exact same stuff the pretend Virginia Johnson said, and he would have made the exact same decisions that he made. Now, maybe he's learnt from this, and he will be different in the future, but I think he would have just overruled her and everything. I think part of it, if Virginia had disagreed with all this stuff, he would have wanted to prove her wrong and show that he knew better than her. I don't think that she would have made any difference to his presentation.
I think he feels like it would have made a difference.
Yeah.
Even if he can't admit that he just would have told her she didn't know what she was talking about, I think the fact that it didn't go well is making him miss Virginia.
I think that was quite good with seeing the wife make that comment, though, because I think it shows that the wife isn't just naive and, like, she's pretty supportive of all the sexual stuff, and she's not really much of a prude. Like, she's like, okay, this is what you do, and, you know, that would have been a bit too much to present, and I would have told you that, and, like... No, she's got a good head on her shoulders.
Undervalued.
Very much. So, doesn't go well. And Bill gets fired.
Yeah, so I guess the state of play at the end of the series is Bill gets fired. He is going to, I guess, pursue the study, but now not through the same university. He took the fall, though, so the provost is still there, and the provost has his back. He's going to help him... do the study somehow, because he thinks it needs to get out there. his brain might get scrambled from the electroshock therapy, so I don't know how much help he's going to be. He's going to try and get back Virginia,
yeah.
who may or may not, probably not marry us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Allison Janney and Bill Masters' wife are probably going to be disappointed in their respective husbands.
Yeah.
It's my prediction for season two.
I'd agree with all those predictions, I think.
Exactly.
Boy, season two. And it's got, I think it's got renewed, right? It's,
mm.
Yeah, it has to have been. So, yeah, get pumped. Bonnie, any last thoughts on season two of Masters of Sex?
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Good. It's good. You got, I don't know, 9 month wait or something.
That's okay, girls.
She's not pregnant.
Girls.
Matt was referring to the release date. Season two. Let's clear that up for the listeners.
That's right. But Girls comes back on, I think, January 12th, so that'll keep me distracted for a few months.
Okay, good. Good. And Game of Thrones, you know the Game of Thrones?
I don't watch it, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show. It's the girls of fantasy medieval period adventure dramas.
Kind of is. It's pretty popular on
yeah.
HBO.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of podcasts yeah. on both.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be great to have you back for our girls cast, Bonnie, if yeah, possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I could really
I think
wait
we like them. Girls as much as Bonnie does. And by that I mean our scores combined might equal that of Bonnie's.
Yes.
I think you do have to be a girl to really, really...
You could provide a much-needed perspective on the show, yeah. Girls.
Well, call me. I'll be there.
That's good. That's good. We will, because who knows? Because you're... Okay, just so the listeners don't get too excited. Bonnie, you're not moving to Australia, are you?
No.
You're just visiting at the moment.
That's correct.
Yeah, you're visiting...
You she just has a temporary pass into Screen Verdict HQ, not yeah. her own ID card yet.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, enjoying Sydney.
Loving it.
Best city in the world.
One of them.
One of them.
One of them.
How many cities have you been to?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot. Top, what you want my top five? Top three?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear your top three cities.
Probably New York City would be my number one. I hate to say Ooh. That because I've been, you know, I've been to Europe. I think New York is probably one of my favorite cities.
See, New York's the one I'd probably like. Oh, I mean, New York is pretty good. Like, it's the one I would sort of concede a bit of ground on. Yeah. Anyway.
Paris. Definitely.
I was a bit disappointed by Paris.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I didn't go to the right places. It's like with my family.
Did you go to the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, we went to the Eiffel
I think that's
Tower.
Supposed to be
yeah,
one of the places.
But I think that's sort of like touristy and stuff. Like if you really want to enjoy Paris, you go somewhere else probably where all the cool people are. I'm just with all the chumps that are at the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this housekeeping?
Yeah, probably.
People are like, you've opened housekeeping
oh, okay, yes,
without
sorry.
Even telling us.
Sorry. Housekeeping segment.
Welcome to it.
Welcome. And is Sydney the third city?
I would say...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love... You know what? Los Angeles and Sydney might be tied in third.
Okay, well, you
because
you live
I'm
in
partial. LA. I'm partial, so...
Yeah. LA's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it's great. Like it's similar to... Honestly, it's kind of similar to Sydney, but it's more spread out. Doesn't have quite a...
Yeah.
Quite the center that you all have here.
Well, we have one last Australian treat for Bonnie... A surprise. I've got a surprise.
We love surprises
yeah.
on the podcast.
Because you've tried a lot of Australian things the past week, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Koalas. Not to eat. Just you've touched a koala.
Uh-huh.
Have you touched a kangaroo? You saw the kangaroo?
Yeah, I touched
yeah,
the kangaroo.
Touched
Shadam.
A kangaroo. Mm-hmm. Great. Saw the Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
New Year's.
Yep, with the fireworks.
They put a light on it or something. They usually do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little Australian delicacy for you to try
oh,
on
no.
the podcast.
Oh, no.
For I know how much Jonathan likes eating on the podcast, but we are just about to have dinner, so don't have too much, okay?
Okay.
We have, under the Apprentice board game box, some Lamingtons.
Hey.
Ooh.
Now, have you ever had a Lamington before, Bob?
I have not.
Okay. It's... I hope you're not allergic to stuff. It's a sponge cake.
Okay.
Covered in chocolate
okay.
with coconut on.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, well, try one.
Okay.
John, then you can get stuck in too. You better love me today, John.
Oh, wow.
Is it good?
Amazing.
Do you know I love the sounds of eating on the podcast?
So there you go. There's some Lamingtons. Is that a podcast, John? We have to get to the dinner you've organised. And then I think we're playing a game of Tempin Bowling. Is that correct?
Just another night on the town for the Screen Verdict team.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Bonnie, I'm pretty good at bowling, so you might struggle a bit.
You'll be surprised how competitive Matt gets at strike bowling.
Yeah. I'm the Stephen Merchant of bowling. Okay, let's turn this off and get to dinner.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
See ya, bye.
Say bye.
Bye.